Welcome to Stories That Matter, the Hawkwood podcast.
Welcome, this is Natalie from Hawkwood, and I'm here in conversation with Temi. Welcome back.
Thanks.
This is the second, so you came last year.
Yeah, I think it's this time last year.
Yeah, and this is now your second year. I'm really excited to hear about how it's been for you, what you're working on, but also the difference between your stay here last time. So that was your, was that your first ever residency?
Yeah.
Not only at Hawkwood, but just...
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever been away and just been writing anywhere else, I don't think.
And how has it been? So So with the last, when you were talking to Alicia, there was sort of mention about before coming here the first time, that it kind of almost felt a little bit, you were unsure about how you would feel about being in a space on your own, given that you're an outgoing person, an extroverted person, and then ending up being on your own. How has that been for you, that experience, and then also coming back, that moment where you think, right, I am going to go back to Hawkwood, and that's that space that I have, which is predominantly what we do in having people here, is that we take you out of your regular spaces, your regular life, and bring you into 42 acres of sustainably managed land with, you know, quietness, and we take care of you. How has it been the second time round that you've come?
Yeah, I was really looking forward to it. I was really, like, really, yeah, excited about being alone, which I don't know if that's, if that hasn't anything to do with Hawkwood or if it's just like a sort of weird shift that's happened over the year. I feel like I'm so extroverted, so like the pandemic was very difficult for me. And then like then I spent a lot of last year socializing, having loads of fun and seeing people. And then like a few weeks ago, I was like, I think I've had my fill now. I just want to like be alone and write loads and see like one or two people once in a while, which is strange, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that's just like me leaning into being a writer more, or just like people say that you get more introverted as you get older, or maybe I just like, I was saying this to a friend and then she was like, babe, you've seen someone like once a week, like this whole week, like once a day this whole week. And I was like going on about this sort of extrovert existential crisis, and she was like, you're seeing a lot of people. But I was really looking forward to it. Actually, like whenever anyone has wanted to come and sit with me this time around, I've been like, please leave me alone. Which is like so not like me. But yeah, I've just been really enjoying my own headspace. Yeah, it's really unique.
Yeah, I was a bit worried about approaching yesterday when I saw you. You looked incredible. Incredible. You were sitting at lunch, reading your book, and the sun was coming through the window, and you just looked so peaceful, and it just seemed like such a beautiful moment. I work in marketing, so my instinctive thing of was like, I really want to take a photo,
but I can't just do that.
So approaching you, I didn't want to disturb that moment and that peace. But what you said about as you get older, so I'm 33, and I definitely have gone through a period of time of just realizing that there's an introvert in me, and quiet time and being in my own space is like where I tend to grow in some instances, because you don't have the external noise. So is that different? You said that different from last year.
Yeah, actually there was someone who I like would sit with every lunchtime, and actually I reached a point where I was like, oh, I could sort of do this without this, or like it'll be nice to do this in the evenings, but maybe like not in the during lunchtime. But like when I was here last time, I was like, oh my god, thank god, like I've got someone to chat to in the lunch break, like someone to like, you know, to amp up my energy to going back and being alone. Whereas yeah, this time I've just been really happy by myself. Really good. Like, it's been nice when I speak it to people, but like sometimes I've been like, could we not chat?
Yeah.
So funny. It's just not what I'm usually like at all.
It's like getting a little badge and just being like, today I want to talk, today I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
And people just know.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing with like COVID, when I wondered whether it was a good thing, like making a badge saying, I like hugs, or I'm open for a hug, or I don't. And what is it about that that could actually be beneficial? What are the things that aren't? Because then you're not actually having a conversation with someone. Or saying, no, thank you.
And also, I think sometimes, like, an interaction can surprise you. Like, you can be like, oh, actually, I got a lot out of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just interesting tending towards being alone for so long as well. Like, for me, 5 days mainly enjoying my own company is like, well, no, actually, I've been traveling with myself actually quite recently. But I think, yeah, I'd still be kind of like looking to meet people. Like, kind of like, I really enjoy meeting people. So like, traveling on my own is like both, like, I can be by myself, but also I can like meet people really easily because I'm alone. But yeah, it's a unique space here to just be like, here I am with my own brain.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And you've been staying at the lodge?
No, was up in the attic.
Okay.
In the main house.
In this house. Yeah. Where did you stay last time you were here?
Ooh, I can't remember. It was in the main house though. I can't remember what room number it was, but it was really nice.
Yeah. You had the windows looking up over the valleys at the front.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it almost seems a bit of a shame that you were in the stables, but we have to be everywhere.
I liked it because I was in the room with like 3 beds, so it just felt massive. When I walked in, I was like, are you joking? I can't believe this is all for me. Yeah. And there's a table, it's like a breakfast table with like 4 chairs and like 2 chairs that like face the view. It was palatial.
Oh,
I was absolutely thrilled. Okay. Yeah. That was definitely not regretting wishing I was in a different room at all.
Well, maybe I need to change up where I stay because I live in Bristol and I come here every week and I sometimes stay the night, but I always choose the rooms in the main house.
Mm.
Maybe I need to explore a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That 3-bed, I mean,
You choose which one you want.
Yeah, like, I had a day bed and a night bed. I would, like, lounge on one and then sleep in the other.
Yeah. And you had your work. So, work. Did you work up there? No, you've been working
there? Sometimes. Like, if it was, like, if I was trying to, like, convince myself it wasn't working, then I'd work in the room. But mainly I was in here, in the studio.
Yeah. It's a lovely studio. We will be developing it at some point so that it's a cafe.
Oh, cool.
And then you've got the really beautiful outside space. But I do love this room. Yeah. I sometimes think I should just come work here sometimes because our offices are just a little bit like next to the reception.
Yeah.
And you don't get, it doesn't feel as spacious as this room. But take me through then the first time you came with Royal Court. You had released your first play not too long before that.
It was like a couple of years before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what have you been working on, and how are you here again? Did you contact us directly? We contacted you, or
yeah, like I contacted Kathy and Alicia directly, and also put in an application basically.
Yeah.
It's weirdly like almost exactly this time last year, which is kind of interesting. It's like about the same time my creative cycle that I sort of need a retreat. It's hard to remember what I've done over the last year because I feel like I've been like more productive, like at least writing wise, in the last like 3 months than I have like for the last year. I went traveling for a bit, and when I got back I feel like I had all the like creative inspiration that I've been kind of craving, so I like have like redrafted a play for the Royal Court and like developed a TV show, and then I'm back working on the rom-com that I was working on here last year. Because it's a project that I'm not getting paid for, so it's just off my own back, so it's quite hard to make time for it, so it's quite nice to like get to revisit it.
And what's the rom-com about?
Sorry. When you've been in it, it's quite hard to like explain it.
It's like trying to explain your Beyoncé experience.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go that far. It's about a girl who is like a professional girlfriend for a living and pretends to be people's girlfriends. Is paid for that, but it's usually like one night, like at somebody's wedding or something. And she gets her first female client and she wants to take her on a holiday to Iceland over Christmas, and she is like isn't sure about it and feels kind of weird about it, and then decides to take the job because she needs the money, and she usually only gets money over summer, because like that's when wedding season is. So she goes, and she thinks that she's doing her usual thing of like being the perfect girlfriend and cozying up to the parents and being really perfect. Mm. And then when she arrives, she immediately realizes that her, like, this girl's family didn't know that she was coming, and they're really homophobic and like aren't okay with her like bringing a girlfriend. And chaos ensues, and she's really upset because she's used to sort of playing the perfect part, but like the like girl who's hired her is like kind of like, no, we're like gonna fuck with them for a week, like, yeah, I'm just trying to shove it in their face so they can finally come to terms with it and get used to the fact that I'm queer.
Oh my goodness. Right. I'm just gonna just, if I've heard this right, so it's basically about a girl who hires this professional girlfriend, doesn't tell her, I'm actually inviting you to come on this holiday to have essentially what is going to be an absolute chaotic experience, because my parents haven't accepted that I'm gay.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I want to watch it. Oh my goodness, that's incredible. And so at what point, where are you? Because so last year you did say that you wanted to get them to go to Iceland. What is it about Iceland?
They are going to Iceland. Yeah, what, they're still in Iceland.
They're still in Iceland.
Yeah.
What is it about Iceland that you decided?
I think I was just like, what's a good place for them to be over Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The more I've been writing about it, the more I'm like, I really want to visit Iceland. I was like, the Northern Lights, whale watching. There's lots of fun things to do.
Yeah. And I haven't been, but I imagine having a very chaotic time in Iceland, there's also a lot of space.
Mm.
There's lots of other things that you can just distract you.
Yeah.
But then also, what... Do you have any research about Iceland, about how people live or what the village is, or?
No, because it's very much like they're in their own kind of like family bubble. Like they are tourists. Like it's not as though they're sort of moving in with a Icelandic family or anything like that. So it's like.
Oh, so they've gone on holiday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, with this girl's family, basically.
Oh my goodness. And what is it? So what is it about? You mentioned before when I was listening through that your themes that you're exploring, the only thing that you know at this point is that, you know, you tend to create things around sort of queerness, and how has that been from then till now, like the development of your themes or development? And also I want to know about the ghosts. Is there going to be ghosts in this?
Not ghosts.
No ghosts.
No. Though I feel like the theme of ghosts comes up in the TV show in the first episode, but not actual ghosts.
No.
What was the question?
The question was just around like your themes, and so you mentioned that the only thing that you know so far is that you want to create work around queerness, and
yeah, I think more specifically, I think I've been making a lot about queer love.
Mm.
And I feel like once I've done this draft, like once I've finally finished a draft of this feature, I think, not that I'll be done with that, but then there's other things that I want to explore. Mm-hmm. Make stuff that's a bit weird or like dark. But yeah, I think I wanted to like, I don't think there are enough like sort of queer love stories, and I've just been wanting to write a lesbian rom-com forever. And I think the TV show is basically a lesbian rom-com, but like more of an ensemble lesbian rom-com. And then this film is a rom-com, just a big rom-com.
Mm.
So yeah, I think that's been what's motivating this creative cycle. But I can feel another one brewing, basically.
Mm. And how has that been for you, sort of growing up and knowing that there hasn't been... like that there aren't like any sort of rom-com film? Yeah, it's usually like, well, you just see the storyline. I think if I watch any rom-com, I know exactly what's going to happen. Like I watched one the other day and I'm just like, oh, and this and this and this and this. But yeah, how has it been for you to kind of grow up and just know that there's no representation, or that you have the ability as well to now be able to create work that perhaps you would have appreciated.
Well, I didn't really know that's what I needed or was looking for, because I didn't really realise I was queer for quite a long time. So I didn't know that it was what I was lacking. But yeah, now that I know, it feels like something I've always wanted to see, basically.
That's awesome. I think with Hawkward, I'm Colombian, and I've loved that I can work here, and since I've worked here, I think we've had definitely like a big push about equality and diversity, and making sure that, you know, we're representing as much as we can. Obviously, this is like a heritage charity, so creating change and moving into that direction, I think, has taken a bit of time. But personally, like, I'm really just so happy to have you here. You're black, you're queer, you're award-winning, you're wearing lilac, you looked incredible in the sunshine. Like, I think it's really amazing that we've got someone like you here. And for you, how has it been, like, at Hawkward during this time? Because you see lots of people coming and going. I think for quite a long time we've had sort of, I think our demographic has been usually sort of 40s to 60s, generally people that live in Stroud. And in the recent years that I've been working here, we've got a lot of people coming in from London. We had the Dakan Collective, which is a Somalian group, who are basically looking into traditional Somalian, it's like weaving. Mm. And so they have this collective where they're basically introducing this culture and finding other women who are able to come in and do that work, and sort of re-educating them. I'm not sure what my question was, but I think I was complimenting you with the fact that I'm just really happy that not only Hawkward, but also that you've decided to come back again, and what your experience has been at Hawkward with the people that have been around.
I think, it probably counts partly for why I'm like enjoying my own company. I sort of was talking to Alicia, I think, like last year, about how special it would be to be here with other sort of people my age, or people who are like queer, or people who are like black and queer, or just black, like, just because I think when you get the space to be in your own head, all the particularities of who you are like really like sing up to you, and probably like come out in the work that you're doing. And I was chatting to a friend, because I've recommended it to so many people, and my friend, because I think there was like a call out specifically for POC or like global majority people on Twitter or something, and I shared it with my friend, and she's like, would you be there at the same time? Like, that'd be so cute. And I was like, oh no, I won't, because I've been here this week. But yeah, I sort of was like, oh, it'd be so special to have like a group of us like kind of working at the same time and like getting to chat at lunchtime. Because also Alicia said that sometimes there's like 10 artists here at the same time. But like every time that I've been, there have been people working on other stuff like on their own, but it might not necessarily be like kind of art. I mean, yeah, I don't know how, quite know how they, like the person last year would describe his work, and I don't want to try. I don't want to mess up. But yeah, I think I've been enjoying it as a solitary experience, but I'm sort of like, oh, I could imagine it being really special with like people who like whose identities like link up with yours, because there's just so much like space and peace and calm, and like, yeah, taking the space for yourself is really special, but also like having this space with community also could be really special.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking. Obviously we always try and work towards things, and I think to understand more about how we can get there, I think we need to ask more questions to the people who are like for instance, you've literally just said, actually being here with a group that you resonate with to create will make a big difference. So now I'm just thinking in my head, right, we need to try and find a way to organize that, because there are sometimes big groups, like different groups, And what is really lovely is to be able to kind of see their work and share each other's work. Mm. So there have been a few times where someone will, like, you know, there was a, oh, it was Shomik Data had an Indian dancer called Maitali Prakash, I believe. And she just called up to the other artists in residence to then just go and see just rough works, mm. a dance that they'd created alongside some of Shomik's music. And just in that instance, to have that opportunity to then see that work and then have a conversation, and I think is, yeah, impactful to your inspiration.
Mm.
So I would love to, I hope you come back. I'd love to be able to find a way where we can sort of program it. So either you speak to your friends and ask them to apply, and then we can find a way that you can all be here together, or potentially, yeah, potentially do something with the programming of it. It's also a bit difficult, isn't it, sometimes with people's timescales.
Mm.
And you mentioned that this is last year you came around the same sort of time. Is there a specific, is there a reason for that?
I don't know. I was like wondering if it was like, I'm quite into astrology, and I was wondering if it's like something to do with that. Yeah, I feel like I've been, at least this year, been like really productive from like Pisces season. And then I kind of want to keep kind of working until like Leo season. It's the way that I've been thinking about it. I don't know if it actually like links up with my creative cycle, but it's just what's happened this year. But I think there's something about like spring has truly sprung. In fact, it's basically nearly summer. And also I think it's almost like you want to get as much work done before like it's truly summer.
Mm.
I don't know if it's that. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, spring is like new beginnings and
growth. Yeah, so it's almost like you're kind of finishing the things that you began, like, yeah, at the new beginning.
Yeah. It's interesting seeing things as cycles and seeing where we sit within that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess over time you start developing certain habits. So perhaps this is you developing a habit of actually creatively I need to be in this space.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was sort of like, maybe I need to like carve this those months out and carve this time out sort of like roughly every year.
Because then you don't have to think about it. Then you know that it's there. The spontaneity is obviously taken away, and there's some although I think at this point spontaneity is overrated right now. I think it's been so disruptive for so many years now. Since 2019, I think having actual, like, this is what I'm doing this at this point, having more space, and what we talked about earlier about enjoying your own company, I think possibly, carving out the space would just make things a lot easier, because then you just know it's coming and you know that this is just for you.
Yeah, it was really weird when I like applied again. I was like, oh, it's been exactly almost exactly a year,
and you didn't even realize.
No,
it just came to you.
It was partly just because my sister was going away and one of my best friends is going away, and I was like, oh, I'm not gonna have like the sort of company that I usually really rely on, so like I can make a virtue of that. So it was like partly a creative thing as well as a sort of practical like thing.
And how has it been for the last 5 days? You talked about having done more work in your rom-com. Where do you feel like it is now, and how has this time been beneficial for you?
I think it's really funny because I got this feeling, which I think I got last year, where it was like, you're kind of a bit freaked out with the days spread ahead, and you kind of like feel intimidated by it, and you're like, oh my God, I'm not gonna... this isn't going to be worthwhile, even though you haven't paid for it. It's not as though like you'd be wasting money, but like, it, you know, having the luxury of the time, you feel like this pressure to use it properly. And I arrived on Monday afternoon, and I just couldn't do any work. I was just tired, which is probably just like from the travel or whatever. And then the next morning I saw Alicia and I was like, I'm really tired. And she was like, well then sleep. And it was really nice because it was like, the person who literally runs it was just like, that's fine, like, which is like quite calming. And then, And then, yeah, like, just like last time, I surprised myself by how much work I did. Much, much more than I probably would have done at home. And, like, yeah, did exactly what I hoped, like, to do, which was, like, to have a rough draft of the second act. And sort of, like, working for many more hours than I would if I was at home. It's nice because I feel like it just means that I'm, like, more than halfway through this thing that I've been, like, wanting to do for so long.
Mm.
And hopefully it will only take me another, like, 2 weeks to finish it. But then I was thinking about that today. I was like, oh, you're basing that off of, like, a Hawkwood week.
Which is a different time. Yeah.
So, but it's kind of the only... I've only got maybe, like, 3 or so weeks to play with. So it's kind of like, well, you're going to have to dig a Hawkwood week out of you in London. Or, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe you'd have to get some help with your friends and just be like, so can a bunch of you cook me food?
Yeah.
And
that's what I mean, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
I need to have a housewife.
Yeah. That's what I need. That's what we are. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, when you know how you need to be taken care of, then, or you know the things that you need to do. So I'm wondering the impact that Alicia had on you when you were just told you were allowed to rest. So, like, we're talking about Beyonce, like, you know, to be told that you're allowed to rest, like, how perhaps maybe that had an element of, like,
yeah,
okay, yeah, now I can get out of this sort of London. I mean, is London busy still? How is London?
Ooh. It's quite hard to talk about somewhere that you live, that you're so used to.
Yeah. When I go to London, it's mayhem in my brain.
Mm.
It's mayhem in my brain. I always feel like I lived there when I was younger and everything's so fast paced. And when I go back to it, especially given the fact that I work here, I live in Bristol, it feels very, very fast paced and there's a lot going on. I've not been in London and had a relaxing time. I always feel like I'm doing something.
Yeah, right now I'm on the outskirts, so I think I feel a bit less like that. But then I am doing something every evening, and it's just me being a really sociable person. And so it's less like the sort of general busyness of the city and more like the busyness that I have because there's lots of people I love in the city, which is nice. But it's quite nice to be like, I'm not seeing anyone. I'm also not texting anyone. Like, I barely, like, message people, which is not really like me either. Like, if people have texted me, and I'm just like, I'm going to text back on the train home.
Yeah.
I think it's less of a kind of London-specific thing. Just like a busy, busy life thing.
Yeah, busy brain thing.
Yeah.
And then you can, like, actually relax. I think it is a thing where before, like, when you end up going on holiday, people get sick because they've just been, like, they don't realise what the full extent of their sort of working patterns or what's come up for them. And then you actually, when you're told, like, you can actually relax, you can actually have this pace and you've got this time, they're just like, oh, okay. But it's different obviously if you're doing a residency, because like you said, you then have this vision of how much productivity you want to have or what you want to get out of it. Did you think that I want to get to the second?
Yeah, because also actually as part of the application, you need to say what your kind of aims are. And I'd said what I wanted to get out of it. But it was funny because someone got chatting to me in the cafe and was asking me about being an artist in residence. And he was kind of like, oh, well, how do they know that you're not just dossing around? And I was kind of like, I think what Alicia said, and then I think I went to my room and just was like, if you don't do any work this week, you will have done what you needed to do because the rest will feed into what you're able to do next week. And I kind of said to him, like, well, you know, dossing around might be a part of your, like, creative practice. It might, like, make a really big difference to, like, what you're able to make. Mm. So regardless of whether you, like, write 25 pages or, like, however many words, like, while you're here, or if you just, like, lie down a lot and, like, go on walks and take in the scenery and do some, you know, creative activity that has nothing to do with your work, I think it makes a big difference.
Mm.
And that's not what I've ended up doing either time that I've been here, but, like, that is the, like, the sort of feeling. It's like, oh my god, maybe I can't be productive, like, and it's quite, I think it's almost like allowing yourself to see the version that is just you, like, playing or relaxing helps you to, like, be productive because you kind of have taken the pressure off of it.
Yeah, which is such an interesting concept because, you know, in a world where productivity is like the most important thing, the creative element of that is play, is rest.
Yeah.
It's understanding how you feel. It's being able to immerse yourself in nature and feel connected with everything. So it's a funny concept of being like, right, actually, I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to rest. And I'm just going to do what I need for my body and for my brain. And then, I mean, yeah, if you ended up not doing as much as you did, I think that was fine. And that's one of the things that I really love about Hawkwood is that there is, that's what we want to create, is that space where you are taken care of, but you can also understand what it is that you need from the time that you're here.
Yeah.
I think it's really special. And there's so much creativity. There's so much creativity in the world. And like when you're, I think when you stop being tunnel visioned and when you can look outward, so like where you are and how you're feeling, I think a lot of good can come from it. So I'm really pleased that you've been able to have this experience, and I really hope that you come back again. When should we expect your, like, so what's the process? Are you going to do, you're going to finish the play in 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
So I'm going to finish the screenplay hopefully by the end of June.
Yeah.
I hope.
And then when can we see it?
I don't.
What happened?
That's its own podcast. And I actually don't really know. I try and sell it to somebody and maybe they develop it with me and maybe it gets made. It's like there's so many rungs. It's kind of like with everything that I've mentioned that I've been working on the last few months, I'm like, none of this could get made. That's not how my industry works. Like, or the three industries, actually, because they're all kind of separate. Like, none of them might be made, and I just have toiled away. But, you know, I would have become a better writer as a result, and hopefully the next thing that I make, which could be made, is better. But yeah, can't tell you when you can see it. Don't know if it will ever be seen, but it's nice to, like, nice to have got further with it.
Yeah. What is that like to know that you do that work and then you're not sure whether it actually will end up becoming, like, being produced or taken further?
It's quite demoralising, but you just don't think about it. You just sort of dream. And also I sort of take the approach where I'm, well, actually it's more with plays maybe than with, well, I don't know, yeah. I think it's almost like, you don't think about it being made. You kind of have to because that's what you're imagining. But also, like, that's not why you're doing it. It's your art. You're doing it because you need to. But, yeah. It's, yeah, you just sort of hold both, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, you're creating. Yeah, you're an artist. So you do it for you predominantly.
Yeah. And then... But I think when you paint something, if, like, it doesn't get hung in a gallery, you can still look at it and other people can still look at it and it's been made. Whereas, like, if you write for performance, it's only half made once you've written it because it sort of needs people and it needs, yeah, it needs life, other people's collaboration and life to, like, make it really real. But, yeah, you just sort of recycle it for the next thing, basically.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes next, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about, your other projects and how this one goes as well. It's been really great having a chat with you. I feel like I could just talk about all sorts of things because there's so much about what you do that I don't really know very much about. But it's been really lovely to have you. Just to end, what any books that you've recently read that you find inspiring? Mm. And also any plays, like your most inspiring book and then your most inspiring play that you've watched, seen recently.
I've really loved this book called Book Lovers by Emily Henry, which is a romance novel. I think because I've been writing romance, but I've not been reading romance while I've been writing romance. It's almost like they've just, like, oh, yeah, it's just really good. It's really hilarious and smart and turns lots of romance tropes on its head in a really, really clever way. But also is, like, deeply affecting and emotional. Plays. Bit harder. I go through cycles where I see, like, loads in a week and then some cycles where I don't see anything.
Blackout songs. It's not on anymore. It was on at the Hampstead, but that's really good. I really loved watching that. Like, the structure of it was really extraordinary. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope to see you again.
Yeah.
Come back. Oh, yeah. Come back. What was it? Yeah, so it's like the 21st to 26th of...
of May.
Of May next year.
Great.
Yeah.
In the diary.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Stories That Matter, the Hawkwood podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, tell your friends, sign up to our mailing list, or on social media.